And good morning. Welcome to Community Voice. Hope everyone enjoyed their long weekend, three-day weekend. Let me turn my mic down a little bit before I blow my own eardrums out. I hope everyone had a great long weekend. Today is Tuesday, May 28th, and we are very blessed to have Tanner Health System in the studio with us today. We have Dr. Christopher Randolph. Dr. Randolph is board certified in psychiatry and geriatric psychology at the Willowbrook Psychiatric Center in Carrollton. We're also joined by Brittany Lilly, who has worked at Willowbrook for 10 years and currently serves as the school and community-based program manager. Today, we're going to be talking about mental health awareness in observance of Mental Health Awareness Month, which is the month of May. And we have 1 week left in May. So I'm very glad that we have the opportunity to come together and have this conversation. Good morning, Dr. Randolph and Brittany Lilly.
Good morning.
Thank you both for joining me on the program today. Why don't we talk a bit about you before we jump into our topic so we can let listeners at home know what you're all about. Dr. Randolph, if we could start with you, tell us a bit about you and a bit about the path that brought you to this moment now.
Well, originally practiced in Alabama. I've been with Tanner Health Systems on and off since about 2018, primarily working in a number of different settings, working in a partial hospital program, outpatient clinic here in Carrollton, and at Willowbrook.
Excellent. Now, what drew you to study mental health?
When I was in medical school, I started working on the psychiatric rotation, and I was really fascinated with seeing how well people respond to treatment. It's like you would have somebody coming in with significant psychiatric complaints. You would start meds, and it was fascinating seeing the response that you got, and it was also fascinating seeing the wide variety of treatments that were available. It was medications, but you also had psychotherapeutic interventions, you had psychosocial treatments, milieu treatments, so it was just, I felt, a very interesting field with a great deal of variety, and it was very rewarding when people would get better.
Are you optimistic about the transition from, let's say, I mean, as little as 10 years ago compared to now, in terms of general acceptance of mental health issues and sort of a proactive approach to a much larger population as you would have had maybe 10, 20 years ago, particularly in the South?
I believe so. I think that it was very shadowy, I'd say, a few decades ago, and I think people are much more willing to talk about psychiatric illness. I think they're starting to realize that approximately 20% of the population meet criteria for some psychiatric condition, be it substance use, developmental disorders, primary mood or thought disorders, and that these patients are their neighbors, and that there is treatment available, that there are things that can be done. So it's not like you don't have the B-movie image of psychiatric illness that used to be so prevalent. People are realizing these are folks.
These are folks that, for the most part, otherwise might be getting through life pretty well, but they have a few things that they may be struggling with. And there's no need to stigmatize those things. I'm glad that we live in an age now where we can sit down at 8:30 in the morning and have a conversation like the one we're having today with experts. It means the world to me.
I'm certainly glad to be here.
Absolutely. Well, let's throw it over to Brittany Lilly. Brittany, same question. Tell us your origin story. What brought you here?
So I actually grew up in the West Georgia area, very small area, and mental health is not something that was talked about when I was a child. I always knew that I wanted to go into a helping field. That's kind of what my family does. We have nurses, EMTs, firefighters. Like it's just our family. My mom is a hairdresser, and I joke all the time, you're a therapist too.
Definitely. Everyone's first therapist.
Yes. So I went to UGA, was actually planning to go to med school, and had my very first psychology class, and it completely changed my world. I started taking psychology classes as electives, and then about 2 years in, I was like, all right, we're going for it. We're changing the major. So then I switched to psychology, started out just working in the community for my first job out of college, doing case management, skills training with kids and adults. I'd go to their homes, schools, meet with people at Burger King, and then went back to school and decided to go into therapy at that point. So I went back, got my master's, found Willowbrook, luckily, and where I've been for the past 10 years now. It's been a wild ride. And now we're in our community and school-based program. We have just celebrated 10 years of being in the school system, which is really exciting. We started out in Harrelson County, and now we're in pretty much every school in Harrelson and Carroll County at this point. So it's a really awesome opportunity that we have to work with kids and students and help their families, too, just understand what it is that their students are going through.
Absolutely. A little education.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I think speaks a lot to, or segues nicely into what we're talking about today. Yeah. And so the first question goes to either of you. What is Mental Health Awareness Month, and what does that mean?
So it's really just bringing that awareness to the public and educating that mental health is not something that has to be in the dark. You know, it's helping remove that stigma. There's a lot of misunderstandings when it comes to mental health. And I think the atmosphere is changing. Like it's definitely something that is in the conversation, which for me is exciting. I think we are having conversations with our friends and family that weren't happening, say 5-10 years ago.
I would agree. I think that the conversations about psychiatric health, about behavior, are much more in public discussion than they were years ago. Sadly, some of it's been due to some disasters, shootings, other events, but much of it has just been the fact that people that have psychiatric complaints, mood disorders, anxiety disorders, are suffering for the most part. Mm-hmm. And there has been more awareness that you don't have to do that, that there are interventions that are available. There's more support. There's National Alliance for the Mentally Ill. There are other support groups that are available. There are the 12-step groups. There are things that people don't have to just stay in their home and stay with whatever is causing the pain.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, you say conversations we're having with friends and family. I mean, I think about how different conversations at home during the holidays are. You know, back in the day, especially in this part of the world, it seems as if, at least for my parents and some folks in my family that are a bit more old school, you know, it went from in the 90s, them seeing this as some kind of weakness, to now, you know, framing it in a way they'll understand it. You know, it's like, okay, you know, you have a car, and, you know, you have sometimes the engine gives you trouble, sometimes the frame or whatever, you know what I mean? And then it's like, you know, cars have a computer with little fuses, and sometimes that has some issues. It's not a big deal. It doesn't represent weakness. It just represents in a lot, often cases, trauma, things that people have been through. So, I mean, you know, why would we say it's so important to continue to spread this awareness for mental health? I mean, in the end, a lot more people are going to be assisted, I imagine.
I think so many people feel alone when it comes to mental health. Either they don't understand it, they don't know how to access resources. And I think when they have friends and family that don't understand it, it's really difficult for them because they don't feel like they can talk about it. One thing that I have noticed in the past few years is that social media has really helped open up that conversation. You have people posting videos saying, I have anxiety, I have depression, this is what it looks like in my day-to-day. And people don't feel as isolated anymore as they once did. We work with kids 4 and up, and to have a 10-year-old come to us and say, I feel really sad all the time, and I don't know why. For us to be able to have those conversations with our children and our family members, those intimate conversations that maybe wouldn't have happened in the past, that's one of the reasons why it's so important to keep bringing that awareness so those conversations can continue to happen.
And I don't know if this is something that you've seen. I think the recent pandemic, the lockdowns, I think people often had prolonged times in which they were by themselves. They did not have mm-hmm. the usual distraction that you have in your usual life, and that led to an awful lot of changes in people's perceptions and in behaviors. So I do think that that had a profound effect on the way that people perceived their lives and the way that they interacted with others.
Absolutely.
You mentioned a lack of distractions. I mean, I am so naive when it comes to this world and the complexities of this world. But I mean, I think it's interesting to use that choice of words, because it seems like between the news and the internet, it's just a steady stream of terrifying information.
Exactly.
During the pandemic, there was nothing to keep our minds occupied.
There was no background of behaviors that we usually had that organize our lives. Going to work, going to the grocery store, going to public gatherings with other people like church, the other things that make up the warp and weave of our lives. And I think that just allowed people to have to turn within, and sometimes it led to worsening in mood, worsening in anxiety and other symptoms.
It's terrible. But good thing we're here to talk about this today, raising awareness at the tail end of Mental Health Awareness Month here. Time is 8:41, so we're going to go and take our first commercial break. But when we come back, we will continue our conversation and education to the community about mental health awareness in observance of Mental Health Awareness Month, as we continue our conversation with Dr. Christopher Randolph, board certified in psychiatry and geriatric psychology at the Willowbrook Psychiatric Center in Carrollton, as well as Brittany Lilly, who has worked at Willowbrook now for 10 years and currently serves as the school and community-based program manager. All of that and more when we're back. Community Voice, brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at tanner.org.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating over 61 years. I'm Patrick Curran, head of school, inviting you to join us on the mountain to see our mission and vision in action. Academic excellence, a faith-based environment, and dynamic opportunities are just a few of the reasons our families choose Oak Mountain Academy. Academic scholarships and tuition assistance are available. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
And we're back to Community Voice. Tuesday, May 28th, time is 8:43, and we are chatting with Tanner Health System's very own Dr. Christopher Randolph, board certified in psychiatry and geriatric psychology at the Willowbrook Psychiatric Center in Carrollton, as well as Brittany Lilly, who has worked at Willowbrook for over 10 years and currently serves as the school and community-based program manager. We are talking about Mental Health Awareness Month. It's the month of May. We got 1 week left, maybe not even a full week, but we got several days left in the month of May. So it's very important we have this conversation and get folks out there, get some folks some information. So I think that we've touched a little bit on statistics in the first segment, which but not very much. Could we speak a bit more to the amount of people that are struggling, as well as you know, perhaps issues as to why folks aren't seeking care?
Epidemiologic studies have showed roughly a fifth of the population have some psychiatric illnesses. Now, certainly a large number of those are due to substance use disorders. But within this, you also have instances of schizophrenia. Severe psychiatric illness can affect 1 to 2% of the population. And, of course, these patients may need more intensive treatment at points. You also have the most prevalent psychiatric issues, other than substance use, would be anxiety disorders. These rates or the prevalence of different conditions varies over time. I think that we have seen, as you've seen, an increase in the number of pervasive developmental disorders, absolutely, certainly in the last decade or two. It's autism spectrum disorders, mm-hmm, and so forth. And you tend to see that variation, but these are conditions that are making their way into probably every family knows, at least may have a family member or knows of family members that have some of these conditions, mm-hmm, because they're pretty well dispersed throughout our population.
My brother, my younger brother has autism, and I've noticed that it seems to be, there seems to be a larger, a more widespread diagnosis. And I wonder, is that a result of perhaps just more individuals being born with some autism spectrum disorder, or would this be the improvements of our screening and analysis and diagnoses?
Yeah, I think it would come down to the screening. Like, we know a lot more about it now than we once did. And, you know, in years past, I think families would recognize that there were things that needed to be addressed but just weren't. Mm-hmm. You know, there was this idea of, it stays in the family. We don't talk about what's happening with, you know, my brother, my sister, my mom, my dad. And with that conversation being more open now, and we've had so many advancements of just understanding what this looks like, there's also a lot of overlap between autism and other disorders that someone may be diagnosed with. So it's really getting in there and figuring out just what exactly are we dealing with here, and how are we going to address that? There's a lot of overlap there.
Do we see differing issues between age ranges? Like, I mean, I know that you're working with a lot of children, mm-hmm, on top of adults. Same for you, sir. I mean, do we see, do we see differences between age ranges?
Absolutely. You know, when it comes to children, you know, a lot of the things that they're presenting to treatment for are going to be different than that of an adult. I think it also comes down to the support system that they have. When you're working with adults, sometimes they don't have that support system around them. They don't have the resources that they need. You know, they're going from the day to day. You know, how do I keep my house? How do I keep my vehicle? Whereas, you know, with a child, they're coming to you for social issues. Maybe they've just had a falling out with their best friend, and that's what opened that conversation for them to come into treatment. So absolutely, I think we see some differences there.
Sure. And certainly at the opposite end of the spectrum with geriatric psychiatry, what we're seeing is worsening changes that occur due to biologic changes. You have dementing disorders, mm-hmm, due to either Alzheimer's or cerebrovascular disease or other degenerative conditions, and the behavior changes that are associated with them, mm-hmm, along with patients that may have had chronic mood disorders and changes that those can induce in somebody's living situation. Also, social changes that occur with aging. People may be losing the support systems that they have had through their lives. Mm-hmm. They may be finding themselves getting more isolated, and those in turn cause changes in people's behavior, people's perceptions, and their self-care. So I think that certainly mental illness does vary across the lifespan.
I mean, yeah, it's so heartbreaking to put it in context like that. You have someone who's older, perhaps in their 70s and 80s. Most, if not all of their family have passed. A lot of their friends have passed. If they have a mobility issue on top of everything else.
Exactly.
Isolated. And during a time like the pandemic, I mean, I can't imagine the repercussions that we're still seeing and still feeling from that time. I did want to ask a bit if we could explore how mental health issues affect individuals, workplaces, communities, and societies as a whole. I thought this was a very interesting point on this material here, and how individuals can address that topic.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, when you look at the age ranges, I'm going to go back to that for just a second. I think you've got a lot of adults that are being diagnosed for the first time in their life. You know, they've gone their entire life knowing that just something didn't feel right. You know, I can't keep these relationships. It's really hard to hold down a job. I feel really sad, you know, most days than not. And that's really heavy to carry around. So you have people that are seeking help for the first time, and they're learning these tools, they're learning these skills, and it's completely changing the way they are in the workplace, the way they interact with their families. That's why early intervention is so important. You know, as I mentioned, we see four and up. I get excited when we have a young child that comes in, because we're starting early. We're giving them the tools. We're giving them the skills that they need. We're helping them know how to talk about their feelings and, you know, things that are going on in their mind. And as far as just how does it affect them in their day-to-day, it can vary. I think it depends a lot on what are they presenting to treatment with. You know, you might have someone that is functioning very well in the workplace, but their home life is a mess. Vice versa, I may have a student who they're really struggling with their grades, with their relationships at school, but, you know, family's fine. They have a lot of support there. So it's very much an individualized thing.
So there are, I imagine, some pretty impressive statistics in terms of seeking treatment early, mm-hmm. getting ahead of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, can we speak a bit to the results of addressing issues early?
Yeah. You know, there are some diagnoses that people are going to carry with them throughout their life. You know, maybe something that they continually struggle with. But when you're reaching them early and giving them the tools and the skills early in their life, that's something that they're able to carry with them and continue using. It also, you know, gives the opportunity to support their parents and their guardians, giving them ways that they can help, you know, their children. A lot of what we do is education of this is what depression can look like. This is what anxiety can look like. This is what ADHD looks like. And I think once you put it in that framework, it's a lot easier for the adults, as I call them, for the kids, adults to, you know, take care of them and really help them get what they're needing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I just see prioritizing mental health and self-care can boost productivity with mentally healthy employees being 18% more productive. Those prioritizing mental health experience a 30% decrease in overall health issues. I mean, I think this is pretty impressive information.
Correct. I'm not familiar with the studies that actually give that data, but I do recall there were studies on an economic impact of, say, depression. This was some years ago. At that time, it was $40 billion that was assumed was attributable to depression. Wow. And a lot of the cost was due to loss of productivity, people who either were not showing up for work, or a lot of what you would see is what's called presentism. I think they call it quiet quitting now, but that's not what depressed people were doing. They would come in, they were not operating at full bandwidth. Mm. So they would be at work, and they would have significantly decreased input in work, and there was a great loss of output, a great loss in the workplace due to either depressive decrease or if somebody has an anxiety disorder, which has a similar economic cost, you would have increased medical costs due to symptoms that are associated with psychiatric concerns. Mm-hmm. Or you would have people who, due to the severity of their anxiety, would avoid work, avoid interactions, which of course causes difficulty in the workplace.
I mean, it's so fascinating because, you know, some people look at something like, you know, mental health struggles and they think of it as something nebulous that you can't, you know, print out on a piece of paper and look at, or that you can't cut someone open and see. But here are the direct results, the direct impact of a very real struggle, very real issues that are having very real impacts on the world we live in.
It's like Cleckley, who was former chairman at the MCG, said that many of these symptoms are only found when they're connected to the circuit of life. People don't really connect with the world around them. They don't really get involved because of this impediment, and that causes significant limitations, not only in the workplace, but also in relationships at home and for the quality of somebody's own life. Mm-hmm.
Time is 8:54. We're going to go and take our last commercial break. But when we come back, we'll wrap up with the last few minutes with our guests, Dr. Christopher Randolph and Brittany Lilly, as we chat more about mental health awareness in observance of Mental Health Awareness Month. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
And we're back to Community Voice. Tuesday, May 28th. Time is 8:56. We only have about 3.5 minutes left in the program. I did want to touch on this last point before we wrap up. What is the role of self-care practices, stress management techniques, and seeking professional help in maintaining good mental health?
Really, when your mind feels better, the body feels better, and vice versa. Attending therapy, it's a lot like getting a massage or working out. That is self-care. It's important to find things that feed you, things that pour into you, that give you the reserves to continue going. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention workplace EAP programs. Those can be a great resource for employees who are just needing some additional support. It doesn't have to be something that's just related to your workplace. It can be personal stress, loss, whatever it may be. My thing that I always push is just find something that is special to you, something that is going to feed you and give you that, wow, this is me. This is something that is making me feel better, as long as it's not hurting you or someone else.
Absolutely. And how can we encourage open conversation about these issues to help foster understanding, empathy, and support for those experiencing these issues?
I think just continue many of the trends that we've been seeing in which people have been having more open conversations through different media, be it various cable outlets. Through if you get on Netflix, you see open representations of patients having psychiatric concerns. You've had a number of different organizations that have been very vocal about spreading the word. And I think continue some of the things we've continued to be doing. I think that you've got better coverage for psychiatric, for mental health coverage through various governmental efforts to ensure parity for psychiatric conditions. And I think if we can just continue the work that's been started, that should help get the message out to people and ensure people get help as they need it.
Well, we only have go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and for those that are friends and family trying to support a loved one through their mental health, it's just important not to stay silent. If you see that someone is struggling, say something. Let them know that you've got their back. It's okay if you don't completely understand what's going on. There's professionals for that. Sometimes it's just a listening ear that makes all the difference. So just don't stay silent.
Well, speaking of a listening ear, where can folks learn more about the services that are available at Willowbrook Psychiatric Center?
Yeah. I'll let you speak to that, Dr. Randall.
Well, certainly can contact Willowbrook if you have any questions. We do have assessment services mm-hmm. that are available through the hospital. We also have clinic here in Carrollton. We have counseling services up in Villa Rica. Mm-hmm. So if you have a question, check us out on the web page or call the facility.
Well, thank you both for joining us today. And for everyone that tuned in, we'll see you next time.